This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show, number 623 in the series. This session shares my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. This is one of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior council meeting, akin to one of the many sports post-game analysis broadcasts we're all familiar with here in New England. This will be a discussion focused on the Franklin Town Council meeting of October 6, 2021. Okay, what just happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and taxpayers? We cover the following key topics: the proclamation and recognition, the four appointments, the presentation and discussion for the school department, and the one key item in the legislation for action. There were others, but this is the most important one. The show notes include links to the meeting agenda and associated documents. The conversation runs about 28 minutes. So let's listen in to my quarterbacking session with Tom Mercer. So Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on the local Franklin area FM dial at 102.9. Here today with another town council quarterbacking session with our town council chair, Tom Mercer. Tom, thank you for taking time to do this, and happy Thursday morning.
And happy Thursday to you, Steve. And it's obviously, as always, my pleasure to be here. These sessions have been going along very well, and I think they add value. So I'm here whenever it's humanly possible.
Agreed. Yes, and it takes two to tango. So I know we rescheduled on my side a couple of times, on your side, and it works out as long as we figure it out. Yes, indeed. And for the new listeners, if you are not sure what you're into, this is kind of the Monday morning quarterbacking, although it's Thursday morning because of the council meetings on Wednesday night. It's the usual kind of, although akin to kind of the sports thing, it's like, okay, what just happened? What is the council meeting? What did they do? What does it really mean for us as Franklin residents and taxpayers? So for the regular readers, you're kind of familiar. Thank you for listening and participating, and we'll just jump right in. So you started off with a proclamation and recognition for the work done for the Cultural Fest by the Cultural Council.
And as I always like to say, getting an opportunity to bring people to a council meeting to recognize them for their efforts on behalf of the community is always a great thing. And last night was another one of those where we brought in the Franklin Cultural Council chair, Kay Kelly, and we recognized her as well as her entire committee for their work on the 2021 Cultural Fest. And just so that there's not a lot of confusion, Cultural Fest, Harvest Fest, two different things. It was a few weeks ago. So we brought her in and recognized her and put a proclamation together. I had asked Councillor Frangillo to read the proclamation. So again, one of those things that I feel are very important to recognize these people for the time and effort that they put into helping to bring these events to the community.
Agreed. And I think we may have recapped. I know I've recapped with Jamie and others, but I think we talked about it as well. And one of the key pieces of the Cultural Fest, particularly the diversity of the approach, they had some salsa dancing with people participating wearing both, like, you know, the sports t-shirts as well as some of the saris that had been shown earlier. That in itself, that picture just was perfect.
It was perfect. And just to show, again, showing the multicultural opportunities and things going on in our community are just phenomenal. Yep. And kudos, certainly, and a great big thanks, obviously, to Kay and her entire committee for putting that together. And I think it's just the first of many to come.
hope that continues for sure.
Yeah.
And then you moved into some appointments, and there were 1, 2, 3, 4 of them, a couple returning folks to the board of directors, and a couple of additional people and new people, which is always a good part, into appropriate roles for them.
Absolutely. We had 4 appointments last night to ratify. And again, these appointments are made by the town administrator with the town council ratifying the appointments. So Susan Eunice was appointed to the Municipal Affordable Housing Trust. And here's a case where an individual had signed up online, having interest in serving on a committee. And at the time, it was the CPA that she was applying to serve on. And, she was not chosen for that committee. But as we do with all of these, we keep their resumes on file to see, to have them to go to when there's either a similar opportunity or a different opportunity that their qualifications may fit. And this was a perfect example of one of those where Jamie had remembered her application to CPA, and she had a huge background in affordable housing. So it just made all the sense in the world. And she was very happy to take the role. So that was a very good one. Not that they all are, because they all are for sure. And then we had Candace Narsasian. Was appointed to the Cultural District Committee, again, trying to broaden that committee a little bit. And she was very happy to jump on board. She's relatively new to the community, I think 3 to 5 years. I don't remember exactly. And that's always good to have as well. As much as you like the history, you need some of the new as well. So,
In her case in particular, she had popped up on the radar that I had found and was going to be setting up some time with her because she created an Instagram account sharing events. So her being part of the cultural district is really a great fit.
Absolutely, because she brings some of this technology, social media background, where she's done a lot of that kind of work. And I'm sure the cultural district committee sitting there this morning saying, thank you, thank you, thank you, because it's always good to have somebody like that on your board or on your committee. So we had 2 reappointments to the Franklin TV Board of Directors, Ann Bergen and Ken Norman, both individuals who have been on the Franklin TV Board of Directors for many years, and certainly appreciate them continuing to step to the plate and take these roles.
Yeah,
and I know you work very closely with them, being down at Franklin TV and Franklin Radio, and you're almost a better individual to speak to the kinds of things that Ann and Ken and the Franklin TV Board of Directors help the administration at Franklin TV. Give them the opportunity to do the things that you're doing, which are phenomenal.
Yeah, and I think the especially haven't had the opportunity, certainly because of the timing and the pandemic status. I've actually been in the studios 3 days this week, which is the first 3 days, I think, since back in February of a year ago. So it's a unique opportunity. It's good to be there. The facility, as you've seen, and if those listening hadn't seen, spend some time, arrange to visit the studio. It is an amazing place. And yeah, Ann and Ken, both in their roles, provide that oversight on the board of directors to allow Pete Fasciano and then the host of volunteers as well, one of which is me, to make things happen between radio and TV and all the sports games that are being broadcast, et cetera. It's really a fun place to be. There's a lot happening. And as we've talked here many times, there's a lot happening in Franklin, and we just try to make sure everybody's aware of it.
Yeah, for sure.
And then into the meat of the meeting, per se, the school department provided an update to the town council. Dr. Ahern and Miriam Goodman spent some time, multi-page presentation and a lot of serious questions and discussion with the council. I thought that was a wonderful start to what really is kind of, and I think Jamie alluded to it later, it's really kind of the start of the new budget cycle at this point. So it was really appropriate to really cover that topic now.
Exactly. And, you know, and I do, I think I made a couple of comments right at the end where this is, that last night was kind of the first time in that I can remember in a long time that we've had the school committee come in and give us this type of a presentation, not really during the budget cycle, but more an informational, how do they operate? Why do they need these things? What are the things they're doing? And I think it was very informative, certainly for the council, and I'm sure for the audience listening. And as I stated, I think it's it was an opportunity for them to get some of this information out to an audience that may not necessarily be tuning into school committee meetings because they tune into the council meetings.
Right.
So this is the kind of thing, and I mentioned it last night, where, you know, I'd like to see us do this a little bit more. I know it's, there's a lot to put one of those things, one of these presentations together. So I do understand that. But to do this a couple of times a year, I think would be very, very helpful to get better information out to the constituents, our residents, as far as how the school committee operates, why are they doing the things where they're doing, and getting a lot of questions that sometimes get asked during the budget process and sometimes for one reason and another don't get asked. So I found it very, very informative, very helpful. And I think my fellow counselors did as well.
Yeah, and I concur. I've helped to foster that share of information. I feel uniquely positioned, to the extent that I spend as much time following the money, if you will, as we've talked here before, between FinCom, school committee, and town council. So I can see that combination, that breadth of the information sharing, and we do need to make that much more readily available indoor in the bite-sized ways so that people can really get at it.
Exactly.
And that I think is going to be the key, because clearly, as we've talked before and in other places, the town has, via the budget, set priorities. But the why, and taking a few minutes to talk about why did we do this? The why of the school budget is not necessarily discussed in the town council. We totally understand. I totally understand. Yep. You can't get into the line item detail because that's their responsibility. You just give them the top dollar. But to a certain extent, it also is beneficial for you to know why they are doing certain pieces. What is the driver? Akin to the fire chief coming or the police chief coming saying, these are the drivers. You need to know those as well. And yeah, in some cases, the FinCom gets those answers. But from a town information perspective, respectfully, I think we just get the sound bites in the budget hearings. And we really need to get more.
Understood. Yeah. Yeah. So it was really good. And it was interesting to see the enrollment numbers. And, you know, when you look to from 2020 to 2021, you know, elementary enrollment is up a little, you know, from 1876 to 1890, I think it was. And the middle school was down a little, anticipated, and the high school down a little. One of the questions that I asked towards the end was, I was just curious about the students that are choosing to go to private schools. Mm-hmm. And if that percentage, you know, sometimes it's hard. Well, we had 28 last year, 26 this year. But if, in fact, the enrollment numbers change, what is that percentage that we're using?
Yeah.
And Dr. Hearn answered it and thought that the percentage was staying pretty similar to what it's been in the past few years.
Right.
But part of that, and she touched on it, certainly at the lower levels, is homeschooling. And during the pandemic, there were a lot of students or parents that chose to homeschool. And that, in essence, is private school, so to speak. They are not in the system per se. So I think that was the enrollment was pretty similar to what they had given us a few months ago. Mm-hmm. And they had that McKibben report McKibben that they study, had done sure. With the projections and you know, their report, their projections 2 years ago when they did this were pretty spot on. So, yeah. You know, varying only a few students one way or another, which during a pandemic situation, I give them a lot of kudos.
Yeah. No, and I think it's appropriate. I think she also mentioned, because I know it's mentioned at least in some of the other meetings, that they do want to relook at the McKibben study because, as you mentioned, the McKibben study was done pre-COVID. And granted, the numbers are in the ballpark, but what has COVID also done to that? And I think we're starting to see some of that still needs to be validated, but there's some suspicion that both the housing churn and the hot market, if you will, for Franklin in the increase in sales. And I think the reference, they had projected 275 single home, family homes to be sold in the year through September, there was already 260. And oh, by the way, it seems like those are bringing in the younger families, which is why the elementary enrollment was slightly higher than what was originally forecast, where the other two sectors were not. So
right. Exactly.
The study, I mean, this is still kind of figuring out where the details are. It's an indication that the study is required. And the key piece is going to be when they start that master facilities process, you know, in the winter, as she alluded, which clearly is going to be after the election. Mm-hmm. Realistically, why start it now and then potentially have a new committee? So right. School committee, when they come back after November, that's going to be one of their major pieces. And we've talked here before, in addition to the McKibben study, they've got the other facility pieces. How are we going to reconstruct our district? That's going to be a significant discussion going forward, and it's not going to be done overnight. That's going to take some time.
Sure.
And then the key piece in legislation, the housing production plan, which I think we had talked before, had passed through the planning board and then was up for the town council. And they had a good discussion last night and ended up approving it.
Yeah, it again, a great a lot of thanks goes to our planning department, Brian Tabanier and his department, as well as our administration in putting this guideline map as to putting a housing production plan in place for us to give us guidance as we move forward, not only from a council and zoning issues, but from planning board and so forth. I think this many, many hours went into this production plan, but I don't want people to be misinterpret what this is. This is not hard and fast. This is a map of how we think and how we'd like to see things go as we move forward. And it's a starting point. And it's something that will help this council, our next council, and councils to follow. Mm-hmm. Same thing with planning board. It will help the planning board, the current planning board, the new one coming in, and future planning boards. And it was adopted. A lot of work went in from the EDC committee as well. Mm-hmm. Melanie Hamblin chairs that. And, you know, with Kobe Frangillo and Andy Bazanti and Glenn Jones, they put a lot of work into this as well, and it was unanimously supported across the board from the EDC, planning board, and then last night at the council it was unanimously supported to submit to the state. So
right. And then to clarify for someone who may not have listened last night, and to reemphasize some of the points here, this is truly the plan. This is the, we're starting a journey towards housing production. Right. The state has to approve, but I think to Jamie's points last night to reinforce, because of the accuracy and the completeness of the plan's development, it should be easy for the state to adopt and approve. Yeah. And then the ball really comes back to the planning department specifically, because each of the mm-hmm. recommendations still requires work, either to craft a new bylaw or to modify an existing one. And all of those take time. So it's a plan. It's yeah. a start, but it's exactly. not being done tomorrow. It's still going to be months and potentially years to bring into execution.
Absolutely. And as I said, it's a starting point, and it's a great starting point and a big one, one that has been a couple of years in the making. Getting this to the point where we are now submitting it to the state, and we all have our fingers crossed, but we think the state is going to support it, and we'll get that information in, you know, the next couple of months, I'm sure.
Yeah. And then I was realizing as we were talking, there was a couple of other key points that we hadn't put on the agenda, but we should mention while we're at. Jamie announced some significant grants that the town has been receiving and will be getting formally announced through the state channels, I believe. But the biggest one is the MassWorks grant. I think it's $2.2 million that'll help. And I think we've talked about it here before around the Washington Street and Grove Street intersection, which I think affects yes. somebody's commute. So that's going to be a significant piece for a number of folks, not just one in particular.
Yeah, exactly. You know, that's one of the most dangerous, and it has been stated as it's one of the most dangerous intersections in the community. And, you know, give credit where credit is due. Chairman Padula from the planning board, this is something that's been on his on his agenda for many years, and working with the planning board and working with some of these grants, we did in fact state that we would be doing this, and then having that grant come through is just phenomenal. So folks, it is going to happen. There will be a light at Washington and Grove,
and there'll be some redoing of the addition of sidewalks, bike lanes, connections to trails. It's going to be wonderful when it's done. Obviously there's going to be some pain as we go through the construction, but no pain, no gain, right?
Exactly. And you raised a good point. The connections with the SNET trail, which is only, you know, a quarter of a mile or a half a mile down the road from Washington and Grove, connecting that with bike lanes and giving the residents the opportunity to come down on a bike safely and get into the SNET trail, just all good things, All good things.
Definitely.
You know, and last night was one of those meetings. It was all good stuff.
It was, yeah. And that's why we do our good stuff on the day after. So if people didn't have the time to spend, what, the 2¾ hours on a Wednesday night, you can get the 20, 30 minutes of the short story in the morning.
Yeah, absolutely. But I would encourage the residents to go back to the link of that meeting and really listen to that presentation by the school, by our superintendent of schools, Dr. Hearn, because there was just so much good information in that presentation, information that people don't always hear the background to. Why are they, why do they need these additional curriculum specialists or school adjustment counselors? You know, why are they there, not in the classroom, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. They just see the budget line item that might say we're adding 2 adjustment counselors or whatever.
Yeah.
But she had the opportunity last night, and I thought she did a good job. And I think she needs to even expand on that when giving these updates and presentations so that people understand why the need, the mental health of our youth is so important. And things have changed. It's not like it was when I was in school or you were in school.
No.
It's so much different now. So I would just say to the residents, if you have a few minutes, go to the website, go to Franklin TV and click on the town council meeting of last night and just fast forward to the school department presentation, because I think it was very informative and will answer some of their questions for sure.
Yeah. And we'll share out when I do the audio portion, that'll be a specific segment. So somebody, if they want, can listen to that specific segment and catch it. Because, yeah, it helps reinforce that, you know, the classroom of what we went to, it was just the teacher in the front. Now it's a teacher, but with a team of people to support them, whether SEL, social emotional learning, language learners, digital integrationists, there's a whole host, which that pie chart circle arrangement really shows of the different titles in addition to the teacher that really are supporting the education of our children today, because that's what's really required. So yeah, it's going to be important to understand and help as we go forward, because as we talk, that's where the budget is, that's where the prioritizations are, and we need to know the reasons behind.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, thank you for taking time today to give us the short story on the meeting last night. And we hope everybody else can listen in and understand and reach out if they have some questions.
Absolutely. We're here to answer any questions that our residents might have. And Steve, once again, thank you very much for doing these quarterbacking sessions. I think we both agree that they're very helpful to many of the residents who tune in and listen.
Yep. And we're looking for more to do so. Indeed.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll have a good rest of the Thursday.
Thank you. You as well, Steve.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information that you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes in 2008, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. By the way, you can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.